It is Thursday, March 6, 2014. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, coming to you from the sunny Chicago suburbs. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. I'm hearing an echo of myself. It's kind of irritating. Once is enough, right? RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com, where you will see the names of all the guests that I've had on the program since October 23, 2010. Just visit the website and click on the radio schedule button. The audio files for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are there. RBN expects to have the archives back up in a few days, so please be patient. This is my last week in this time slot. I now have a Sunday afternoon program here on RBN, which is from 2 to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. I hope that you will join me then. And I begin this Sunday, actually. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by visiting spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour when I open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Buthaina Nevlin. Welcome, Buthaina.
Hello, Diana. How are you?
I'm very well. And you?
I'm well. Let's say I'm well. This is a lot of bad news from my country, but I'm trying to do my best. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I really am. When I hear people say that they are proud of the military, that they support the military and are grateful for what they're doing, I think about you. And I think about you having to leave your home. I think about all the bombed out buildings, the destruction of all the artifacts, the destruction of your home, the destruction of all the infrastructure. And this has been going on since 1991.
Exactly.
So I'm sorry personally.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard there. I mean, it's just like my sister yesterday described it. It's like hell living in rubbles, and you see everything is demolishing and dying, all these casualties. And my sister is dying now, and it's so hard. She's young, but she gets these diseases after the war. And yeah, it's hard. Wars are bad, and I hope the American people will stop being proud of going to wars. I mean, that's as if being proud for crimes. And I don't know, hopefully they will understand it one day and they will correct their government path and try to do whatever they can to their countries they demolish and they are going to demolish in the names of democracy and freedom and this nonsense thing. And I hope they can do a little bit better. I mean, as for my country, it's hell. I mean, it's hell. And my little sister yesterday told me, I mean, she want to find the medication for my other sister who was dying, and just to stop her pain. And she said, Thayna, I took one of my colleagues and we're going to throw all these places to some pharmacies that they carry this kind of medication, and every now and then you hear a bomb. And she said at that time I was so frightened, me and my colleague, he's a young man, and she said if I'm gonna die with him now with a bomb, am I going to be asked by God that I killed him because I took him and he came to help me? And it's devastating. I mean, when I don't know, it's I'm sorry to talk about that. I don't want to hurt you more.
No,
I mean, the reality of any nation under the war is horrible. I mean, what happened to Germany or Vietnam or Laos or Afghanistan or Palestine, and now they want to do it in Ukraine, and they are putting their eyes on Venezuela, and Syria devastated now, and the refugees, and Allah help them, God help them. And It's ongoing genocide to the Arab world from 1991, and yeah, they started it with the first Gulf War, the so-called Gulf War, and they couldn't do it, so they came again and took our legitimate government, and they executed them hideously and tortured them, and now they're after the people. I mean, 3 million Iraqi really died from 1990, from Bush mission accomplished till now, and I don't know, it's hard, but...
You know, Bethany, you reminded me of something that you said started, of course, the first Gulf War, as they call it, and then they come back again. And that's exactly what happened in World War One. They couldn't destroy Germany in World War One, and Churchill said that it was just really an ongoing war with a 30-year break in the action. Yeah. And so they used the same tactics, and I'm so sorry. I just wish that the rest of the American population would wake up. There's so many of us who absolutely hate what the U.S. government is doing in other countries and using taxpayer dollars. And of course, when these soldiers come home, they're treated like dirt and they're used as guinea pigs when they're over there with all the vaccines and all of the psychiatric drugs that they're been compelled to take. I am so sorry.
This is all that was happening with you.
I know. Well, that's what we talk about, and that's
we shall talk about Islam and Christianity in the Arab world.
Okay, let's talk about that.
I'm sorry you're leaving. I hope RBN will reconsider their decision, and definitely you're going to take all your listeners and everybody who loves you to the Sunday spot, definitely.
Yes, yes, and I'll have you back on one Sunday also. We're not going to, you know, just go away. We're just not going to be here as often, and anyway.
Yeah, let's talk about the Islam and the connection with Christianity and how Christianity in the Arab world helped Islam a great deal. And so, you know, we, as a Muslim, we should believe in the one God. There is one God, Allah, the creator, you can say, and he create the universe, and he create people from Adam and Eve. And from that time, we considered Adam the father of the humanity, and he is our first, they consider the first prophet in Islam. We believe that God sent many prophets, but the most one that Muslim had to recognize are 25. The last of two are Prophet Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, and the last prophet we consider Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Islam started 620 years after Christianity. The main place is the Jazeera land, Najd and Al-Hijaz. Al-Hijaz, that's the real name of the Arab land, which after World War One, those who put the allies, the Britain put British to control over the Arab land with the French, and they put the Saudi family, and they changed the name, the real name, from Al-Hijaz to Saudi Arabia. But the real name was Al-Hijaz land.
Okay, Bethana, I'm sorry, we do have to cut to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back, and then we'll pick this up on the other side. Alrighty, we are back. Our guest is Bethana Nevlin, and she is talking about Christianity and Islam. So please continue. Sorry, we had to cut you off and go to a break, but that's what keeps the bills paid here at RBN.
No problem. Yes, Diane, I told you the original place of Islam is Mecca in Al-Hijaz land, which after World War I, the British changed their names and give it to their stooges, the Saudi family, whom we call them the Jews of Al-Dara'iyya, and put them in power. And really, really, I mean, they changed. I mean, you can't recognize Al-Hijaz now or before and after a Saudi family took power. So we, as a Muslim, believer in one God, monotheistic, and God, glory to his name, created the universe. Of course, we disbelieve the so-called the theory of evolution. That's nonsense. So Allah created people from Adam and Eve. We consider Adam the first prophet in Islam or for humanity. And then we believe in the other 25, which revealed in the Quran, Prophets Noah, Idris, Hud, Saleh, Abraham, Lot, Ismail, Isaac, Ishaq, Yaqub, Jacob, Yusuf, Joseph, Ayyub, Job, Shu'aib, Jethro, Moses, Musa, Harun, Aaron, Dawood, David, Suleiman, Solomon, Elias, Eliasa, Yunus, Jonah, Belkifl, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Yahya, John, Isa, alayhi salam, Jesus, and the last prophet. We call him the Khatim of the Nabuwa, or the last prophet who will, no prophet will come after him, is Prophet Muhammad. May God be peace and blessing be upon all of them. We also, which is, I mean, you should believe in all these prophets and believe in their message, in their prophethood, and in their books. So we believe that the book that the Puzzlem of David, the Torah of Moses, the Gospel of the Bible of Jesus alayhi salam are all true books from God. It has rules and other stuff to guide humanity to a better life. And the last revelation of God was the book of the Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered the miracle of Prophet Muhammad. All other prophets before them, Allah gave them miracle, like the miracle they gave to Jesus alayhi salam, the way he was born, the miracle way he was born, and the way he can create from clay or mud and make a living thing from a clay and mud, and he can cure the most hard to cure diseases, and all the many miracles that Isa alayhi salam, Jesus had, and David, and all the others. The miracle of Prophet Muhammad was the book Al-Quran, Holy Quran. Why consider it is a miracle for Prophet Muhammad? Prophet Muhammad grew up, he is from Quraysh tribe, who was living in the Mecca. Mecca was the first holy place for, or holy worship place for the mosque. It's the second one. The first one was Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the mosque, Al-Aqsa Mosque in Palestine, is now under the Zionist occupation. That's the first place where the people, Muslim people, use to turn towards when they pray, and then they start turn towards Mecca when they pray. Mecca was built first by Abraham alayhi salam and his son Ismail, who is the father of the Arab, and tribe of Muhammad, Quraysh, was living there. And they were a very, very important tribe, and has a very, a very, very strong people, very important tribe in that time. Prophet Muhammad came 620 years after Jesus alayhi salam. At that time, of course, the land of Hijaz was many tribes was Christian. And many of these tribes, in the real book of the Gospel of Jesus alayhi salam, there is a physical sign of the prophet that will come after Jesus alayhi salam and where he's going to appear, what's his physical sign, what's the prophethood sign in his body, everything. So the priest of those of the Christian people are the first one who know that this man Muhammad ibn Abdullah, son of Abdullah, was the prophet. Prophet Muhammad get first married, his first wife and his most loved wife was Khadija. Khadija, we call her Khadija al-Kubra. Khadija was a Christian woman, and her she has a cousin who's very, very knowledgeable, a priest or monk, a priest, he's a priest, so he knows the true book and of Jesus and David and Moses. And in all these books, according to our belief, the signs, the physical signs and other signs of Prophet Muhammad is there. So when the Quran descended on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to go meditate in a cave, in a mountain, a cave called Cave Hara in Jabal Thawr, Mountain Thawr. He used to go and meditate for a long time and pray before Islam, but his heart telling him that there is a God and one God. So when the Quran descended on Prophet Muhammad, the night he was praying there, he was so afraid. Jibril alayhi salam, angel Jibril, Gabriel, I think you call it, but we call him angel Jibril, came and he began to teach him and let him repeat after him the first verses of Quran. The first word of Quran came to Prophet Muhammad was Iqra. Iqra mean read. And Prophet Muhammad told him, I'm not a reader. And the Jibril continue, Iqra, Iqra. And Prophet Muhammad, I'm not a reader. I mean, read, I'm not a reader. So I think Prophet Muhammad, Jibril squeezed him and he forced him to read. And he told him, then Prophet Muhammad told him, what should I read? And the first ayah came, Iqra bismi rabbik, read in the name of Allah who created the universe. After this first verse and the disappearance of Prophet Jibril, he came down from the cave, from the mountain. He was very scared, trembling, shivering, very scared. And he told his wife, Khadija. Khadija, she's a Christian lady. She knows a lot of, the other God's book, Gospel, the Torah. She went right away to her cousin. His name, Waraqa bin Nawfal. He is very knowledgeable, a priest. And she told him what happened. And Waraqa bin Nawfal recognized that. And he told her, be happy. He is the prophet of this universe. He is the last prophet of the universe. Huwa nabiyu hadha zaman. He is the prophet of this time. So the first one who supported Islam was a Christian lady and a Christian monk, her cousin, and they give the good omen to Prophet Muhammad that he was the prophet of that time. Of course, Khadija is the first lady who accepted Islam and converted from Christianity to Islam.
Alrighty, we are going to a quick break. We will be right back. Deanna, our guest today is Buthaina Nevlin, and please don't forget that this week will be my last week in this particular time slot. I will begin my Sunday show this week on the 9th, and that will be from 2 to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and I hope that you will join me then. All righty, Buthaina.
Yes.
Please continue. You know, you mentioned that we were talking about the so-called first Gulf War, and it made me think of the in the 1920s, that Winston Churchill, was behind the use of poison gas against the Iraqis.
Yeah.
Yes. Not just the Kurds. I mean, they were using poison gas all over the Middle East. Yeah. And, I mean, it was terrible. It was terrible what they did. The British came in and just rearranged the entire, all the borders and put people together that had not necessarily, been together before. It's just amazing how they, what they did to the area of the country that that your homeland is in.
Yeah, the Arab home divide and rule. This was one Arab homeland. They divided it into 22 pieces. That's not enough. Now they want to divide it to more and more pieces.
Yes, and you talk about the Saudi family, and I think people don't understand about exactly who these people are and why the British put them there. And of course, the British were working for the Jewish interest at that time. And so, of course, they're going to install some Jews into the ruling families there. What an awful thing has occurred.
They're a very corrupt family. I mean, ethically, morally, everything. Very corrupt, very Satanist. And they destroy the artifact, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam companion's mosque. They put, horrible thing. They did horrible thing to the Holy Land, and they are going on and on with it. Yeah, I mean, it's the name changed from Al-Hijaz. Now nobody knows what is Al-Hijaz, and they call it Saudi Arabia. So,
right. Yeah,
horrible stuff. Yeah, I mean, this World War I, World War II, not against Europe and Russia, it's against the whole world and the aftermath of it. I mean, it's against the whole world. I mean, war against the whole world. It's not the European or the Russian or... Yeah, let me continue with Prophet Muhammad.
And, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, he said the first woman who believed him, his wife, Christian Khadija, and her cousin, Waraqa bin Nawfal, who is Christian. And after that, some of his relatives. But before his prophethood came, the one who saved his life was a priest. We call him Priest Buhayra. Before his prophethood, the Jews in their book, in their real book, the original book, the Torah, there are a lot of the characteristics and signs of Prophet Muhammad. So when he was at age 12 or 13, they know that he is going to make a trip from Mecca to Asham land. And by the way, Asham land, Ard al-Sham, it's the land of what we call now Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, and Jordan. All this land was one land till Sykes-Picot deal or accord in the aftermath of World War I. So the Arab usually go in two trips in summer and in the winter to one to Asham and one to Yemen. And the Jews were waiting for him because, according to their books, he will make a trip with his uncle, and they will know, they will just ambush him and kill him with his uncle. Priest Buhayra, we call him, was waiting in the way. So when he saw Prophet Muhammad and his uncle coming or passing by a place called Nasra in Asham land, he stopped them and he started asking his uncle, this boy, what's his name? What is his dad? Stuff like that. His uncle even told him, I'm his dad. He told him, no, that's not true. His dad is dead. Of course, Prophet Muhammad father died before he was born. So this priest, Buhayra, told him, look, if you continue your trip, the Jews there, they are sitting to you and they will kill you and the boy. And Prophet Muhammad, when he was 12 or 13, so go back and return. And he really, he saved his life because his uncle took him back and saved his life. So that's one thing that we are saved, our Prophet, we are saved by the priest of Christianity. other thing I can think of, I mean, there are a lot of incident how the priest were saved on help Prophet Muhammad. When Prophet Muhammad started telling people to stop worshipping, I mean, when the message of Islam came and he start telling people to believe in one God and stop being pagan and stop take off all these statues from the from Mecca and return to the true religion of our father or Abraham. He was really rejected by his tribe. He was rejected and tortured by his tribe. He went from a place to a place. He went. He ran away with his followers to a place called Al-Ta'if, which is a place north of Mecca. And there he was really treated very badly by the people there because his tribe asked the people of Al-Ta'if to hurt him, throw stone on him. So he ran away from them, and the only place he could find is a place where his a priest was there, and he came to help him, and he called himself a priest from Nineveh, a priest from our city, Nineveh, Mosul, and he helped him, and he gave him food, and he cured his wound. So that's another incident how the priest or Christianity helped the Prophet of Islam, and he was telling him that I know that you are coming, and I came here to help you. So Christianity and Islam is really hands in hands in the Arab world. I mean, I say what according to our belief. I mean, I don't want to offend any other belief. So they were hand in hand. They are cooperating. There is no enmity. On the contrary, we love each other too much. When Prophet Muhammad's message prevailed in Al-Jazeera land, Najd and Al-Hijaz, and start to go all over the Arab world, when they went to Iraq, Mesopotamia, my homeland, Iraq, all the people there was I mean, official religion was Christianity. Most of the people we call it that time the state called it Al-Manadira state, people of Al-Manadira. All these tribes, Arab tribes, were Christian. So when the Islam and the light, I mean, the teacher, the Prophet Muhammad came, and they know that, I mean, their books tell them that he is the Prophet, that Prophet Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, was telling them about, and he said, some prophet will become after me. His name is Ahmed, Muhammad. And when you see him, you have to accept his message. So most of the tribes there, the Christian Arab tribes, converted to Christianity. Many of them, they kept their Christian belief, but we honor them. And the Arab state that flourished after the message of Islam had special treatment and very more rights to the Christian than the Arabs, because they consider them, Prophet Isa, Isa al-Bashir, Isa the Harbinger, he gets the good omen about our Prophet. So this kind of spirit and spirituality between the Christian and the Muslim then, when we call it the Arab conquer or the Futuhat al-Arabiya, when they liberated Egypt by when time of Khalifa, the second Khalifa of Islam, Umar bin al-Khattab, when the Muslim entered Egypt, they saw that the Roman Empire, who was controlling in Egypt at that time, was harshly persecuting the Christian there, the Arab Christian there. They even didn't let them open churches in the cities. So you see all these old monasteries and churches in Egypt were in a faraway places in the desert. They were, I mean, running for their life because of the harsh persecution of the Roman Empire who was controlling Egypt at that time. Khalifa Umar bin al-Khattab, when he saw there, he was amazed. So...
I'm sorry, we do have a short 3-minute break. We will be right back. And all right, we'll be right back. is Deanna, and our guest today is Boothena Nevlin. All righty. And I'm hoping that we can talk about the current situation or the situation between the Christians and the Muslims in your country in the last 40 years or so, because they were very close. They were neighbors. Everything was fine. It's just amazing what the Jews, as I see it, what the Jews have done is that they've turned the so-called Christians and the Muslims against each other. They've taken what is supposed to be a Christian country and targeted the attention of the people in this country on the Muslims and have accused the Muslims of doing terrible things where, in fact, they haven't done anything. And it seems that they've just turned two groups of people who previously had been friendly towards each other against each other. Am I saying that correctly?
Exactly, Diana, very correct. I mean, 40 years ago, I mean, all the long history, we were brothers and sisters. My best friend, Nadia, was a Christian. She's my best friend. I mean, she was a Christian. And I go with her to the church, and she asked me a lot of, and they keep even Quran in their house. And it's the connection are really great. And the churches, all their worshiping places, well, just paid by the Baathist government as just like the mosque. There is some kind of endowment or allocation money allocated to the church, the same money, the same amount of money that allocated to any governmental mosque or public mosque, the same amount goes to the church. No difference. I mean, they have their own churches. It's paid by the government, and everything they ask. I mean, no, they have really a great priority. The ministry, the old ministry of defense, attached to it a very old church, and it was really, I mean, all the money, all the reconstruction, everything was paid, right? A lot of donation from our Christian brothers and sisters, but the government do to them what the government do to the Islamic mosque. So we were living in great harmony. We love them. We consider them the cream of the cake of Iraq. So, unfortunately, the Christian of this country goes and kill the Christian and the Muslim of other countries. I mean, when John Kerry paid $8 billion and to those terrorist rebels, and they go and terrorize and butcher the Christian of Syria, why? I mean,
okay. Tell us a little bit more about that. We don't understand what actually happened there. Could you tell us what happened?
I mean, the so-called the Arabic Revolution, the new Arabic Revolution, which is starting in Tunisia. I mean, it's paid by the Zionist entity of the Zionists of this country to go to these countries, started in Tunisia, and then went to Egypt, and then Syria, and then Libya, and then Syria now. And all these, they took some groups of people, they trained them under Hillary Clinton and the Freedom House and the Heritage Foundation and all this criminal organization. And they send them there to the Arab world to make a demonstration. And all these media, Al Jazeera, of course, Al Jazeera is a Zionist TV. And all CNN and the media of the Saudi family go and depict this as a revolt of the people against the tyranny or the dictators there. But in fact, there are some paid people and some Jews, like what happened in Libya. There is some tribes or Jews who are living peacefully in Libya, and Colonel Muammar al-Qaddafi, peace on his soul, was really treating everybody in the best way. So when this guy, what's his name, David Levy, this French Zionist philosopher, David Levy, he went there and he talk with these Jews, and he start giving them money and weapons, and they are the first one who started as so-called revolting against Gaddafi. And then they brought their terrorist group, what is called Al-Qaeda, which is a paid criminal, bunches of a criminal. They took them, they brainwashed them, and they sent them to kill and sabotage the innocent and the civilians. So the so-called the Arabic Revolution, all of them is the Zion, we call it the spring of Netanyahu, Rabi al-Arabi. We call it the spring of Netanyahu. And it's all done under the supervision of Hillary Clinton and her Zionist department and David Levy and the Mossad. And they tried to do it in Egypt. The military protected the people. And now you can't imagine the propaganda against the government of Egypt, Sisi, the Minister of Defense. So now they are trying to do it. In Syria, they trained those terrorists and they let them go through Turkey. They came from Turkey. Of course, Turkey with Erdogan are under the Zionists also. So they start pouring from the border between Turkey and Syria, and they start terrorizing people. All these are, I mean, paid by John Kerry. I heard the last thing he was giving them something like $8 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, and the first thing they tackled the Christian, and they terrorized them, and them. I mean, as well as the old, I mean, Syria is a big history. So all these old mosques and old churches, they are demolishing them, and really, they are butchering the people hideously. I don't know if you saw this video when this one of those Al-Qaeda members, they capture a soldier, Arab Syrian soldiers, I mean, the official army, and they cut open his chest and took his liver or his heart, and he chewed it. I don't know if you saw it.
Yes,
it was horrible. All over the world. I mean, those terrorists, that's the same thing they did in Iraq. They have sent their paid militia to do hideous stuff. I mean, hideous kind of torture to the people. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And of course, we now have this issue in Ukraine,
yeah.
Which is the same.
The same. I mean, Ukrainian, I don't think Ukrainian people want to have the same what we have or what the Syrian now are having. I hope they will be more, or the Libyan people, they were the best, the highest living paid people in the whole Arab world and Africa, and now they are the misery they are living after the death of Colonel Gaddafi is horrible. So I hope they get back to their senses. Nothing good comes from Hillary or John Kerry or the State Department of U.S. So
exactly.
I pray for all the people to not go through what we have been and what we are suffering now.
Sure. And you said that there was billions of dollars that Kerry distributed in order to train these terrorists. Well,
yeah.
I think you can compare that to the U.S. government, well, to the Rockefeller interest who paid, and the other Jewish bankers who paid the terrorists, trained them in this country, and then sent them over to Russia in the early 20th century. To foment the revolution there. It's the same thing. It's the same tactics over and over and over. Don't you think?
Exactly. It's the same thing. It's as if they're having a pattern or a playbook or, okay, we shall do this. And the same thing. Change the names. Put Iraq instead of Germany, Russia instead of Iraq. Stuff like that. And you have the same thing. And they are fighting the democracy. And the Caesar was a bad guy. And butchered immediately. So
right.
They butchered Saddam and Gaddafi.
Yes. All right. We are at the top of our hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. Our guest today is Boothena Nevlin, and she is talking about Christianity and Islam and in the Arab homeland and their connection to the Ba'athist Party.
Yes.
I do want to remind people that tomorrow is my last day in this time slot. I will be moving to Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m., and that's Central Standard Time. I will be starting this Sunday, so I hope that our listeners will join me. All righty.
Yeah, Diana. I was talking about we reached the second caliph of Islam, Umar bin al-Khattab, and when they liberated Egypt and Asham, Syria and Lebanon, Palestine and Jordan came under the control of the Muslim Arab, and they kicked the Romans from there. He found the huge persecution from the Roman Empire against the Christian there. So he brought them from the desert or the faraway places, and the Muslim state or Muslim caliphate started building the churches inside the towns, inside the cities, and they provide them with everything, just like the way they build mosques, they help them. So if you go to Egypt and you go to Asham land, which is these four countries, you find, the most time that the old churches built was in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab at that time. So they were, in the Christian people were enjoying a very good freedom, very good treatment from the Arab, and that was till the end. And they were treated very nicely. They fought with the Muslims against the so-called the Crusaders, which I think it's Zionistaders, and they fought bravely with Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, the Arab leader who liberated Al-Quds and Al-Quds Jerusalem and the whole Arab land from the hand of the Crusaders. So we were hand in hand together from very long time. After the decline of the Arab civilization, after the destruction of the Abbasid civilization on the hands of the Mughals, of course, the Arab land took in the very dark ages till they got under occupation, or not occupation, under the caliphate of the Ottoman Empire. Ottoman Empire was much merciful than any other outside forces. So from that time, the spirit of reviving the Arab civilization, the national Arabhood, brotherhood spirit, it was coming back at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century. They tried to regain independence from the Ottoman Empire, and after the collapse of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, they tried to regain independence against the French and the British occupiers, and they really fought hardly. The Iraqis started a big revolution in 1920, we call it Thawrat al-Ashreen, against the occupation of Britain. They really fought hard. They didn't manage to take Iraq out of the control of the British. British put a king, Arab king, on Iraq. The king was King Faisal, and he's a very good Arab, and he wants his independence from the British, but he couldn't make it. The British killed him, killed his son Ghazi, King Ghazi. And after that, the World War II start taking place. At that time, Iraq, the prime minister of Iraq was Nouri Sa'id. He's nothing but a stooge to the British occupiers. At that time, some of the very brilliant officers from our great army started a revolution, an intifada or uprising, by Abdulrahim al-Gailani, and they started the 1941 revolution to get to, in a way, it's supporting the Axis, the German and the Italian, against their fight against the British and the French. And in a way, another way, they want to kick the British out of Iraq. So they toppled the government of Nuri Said. They took control and they start this revolution, and they declare their supporting to the German in their fight against the communists. And from that time, the Mufti Amin al-Husseini, he was a friend. This Mufti, I think you saw his picture with the Führer Adolf Hitler. He was a friend to al-Gailani, and they worked together, and the German established a radio station for the Arab in Berlin called the Arab Voice from Berlin, and Iraqis worked there, and they tried to support the German and the Axis against the British and their allies. So they started giving speeches and pushing the zealots in the Arab world to fight the British and the French. So this kind of speeches has a great effect on the Arab world and really started the struggle against all the occupiers in Algeria, in Libya, in Egypt. So after that, the British brought big forces and they crushed the revolution. But their voice was heard, so the struggle of the Iraqis began to go on and on. Egypt started struggling hard against the English, and in 1953 they gained independence. Then in Iraq in 1968, and then before that in Libya in 1963, and Algeria, who paid 4 million martyrs to get rid of the French. So the nationalhood, the socialisthood of this movement were really was a result of the fight of World War II. The Arab Ba'athist, or the Ba'athist Party, started in Damascus in Syria. The founder of the Ba'athist Party, a gentleman called Michel Aflaq, he's Orthodox Christian. He was born in 1910. He has attended the French. Syria was under the occupation and French, and they try everything to franchise, make it French. So all the schools then, I mean, they tried to really to wipe out the Arabic culture. All the schools there was in a French. So he attended this school, and he went to Sorbonne in Paris, and he took his degree from there. He came back to his country and started preaching for the unity of the Arab land, the Arab nationalhood, reviving the glory of the Arab civilization and socialism. They consider the socialism is the religion, or Prophet Muhammad religion is socialism, or they consider Prophet Muhammad is the imam of socialist. And so this started the Ba'athist Socialist Party, Hizb al-Ba'ath al-Arabi al-Ishtiraki. Its mottos, the mottos of the Ba'ath.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, we're going to a quick break. We will pick this up on the other side, and we do have some callers lining up. We will be right back in 3 minutes. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Buthaina Nevlin, and she's talking about some history that many of us don't have access to, that we just have not learned about. And I always believe in looking at all the sides. I just think it's important to to listen to other people's views and to see, you know, we've all been brainwashed and indoctrinated in this country to believe what the history teachers have told us, to believe what the government schools have told us, to believe what the media has told us. And we've been seriously duped. And so I think it's important to hear others. And I really appreciate your views, Thana.
Thank you.
Always have. You just have enlightened the listeners so much in past programs.
Like, really thank you from the bottom of my heart, Diane. I mean, nobody just like you gave me this opportunity. So Allah bless you. Allah bless all your listeners. And I hope you're getting bigger and bigger, better and better jobs. And we will be with you. We love you a lot. Really, we love you a lot.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And I care about the listeners. I care about the guest. I've had some wonderful people on the program, and I've learned a lot. It's been a wonderful experience for me. And I hope to continue.
Yeah, inshallah, by God's will, inshallah.
Yeah, yes.
So I was talking about the Ba'athist. I told you that it's started by a Christian philosopher, Michel Aflaq, and his views take all the, I mean, it's just reviving the old good spirit of the Arab world and pushing the young generation to be just as good as their great grand folks, and reviving the Arab civilization. So this the spirit of the independent from other foreign forces, get back to be united, the spirit of brotherhood and nationalhood, all we are as Arab, with all our different religions, Christian, Sabian, Kildanian, everything, Muslims, be together unite to the benefit of our people. So the Ba'athist started in 1947. This spirit, which ignited by World War II and helped by the Führer of Germany, and this, I mean, it's just a blaze, took all the Arab world and help us liberate the Arab world from the occupiers, and we live a very good life from the time from the time that the Ba'athist and the Nasserist and Hawari Boumediene and Al-Qaddafi on Libya took control and liberated the Arab land from the occupiers. And I told you that from that time we were living in a very good life. I mean, the Ba'ath Party mottos was freedom, unity, and socialism to the whole Arab nation. We call it al-Umma al-Arabiyya, the Arab nation. The Ba'ath, the name of the Ba'ath in Arabic, it has two meanings. And why? I mean, that's why the Satan is Zionist to occupy U.S. and French and Britain. They were hard on the Ba'athist. Look at the Ba'ath Party. They hate Christianity, Christ, and they hate the Ba'athist the same. The word Ba'athist, what does it mean? It has, in the Arabic language, mean to revive, and live. That's one meaning. Where does this word come from? It's come from the Quran. Who said it first? Prophet John and Prophet Jesus. The last words, as in belief, the last words of a Prophet Jesus, Isa, when Allah take him up in the sky and take him away from those who want to kill him. So when his spirit ascended to the sky, the last word he said, "Assalamu alayya yawma wulidtu wa yawma amutu wa yawma ub'athu hayya." Peace upon me. This is his own words in the Quran, according to the Quran. Peace be upon me. The day I was born, the day I'm going to die, and the day I'm going to return to life, in life, revived, raised to life again. This is the Ba'ath. وَأُبْعَثُ حَيَّةً. For the word Ba'ath, taken from the Quranic verses. So the Ba'athist Party founder, who was a Christian, he took it from him, because we consider that the last savior who's going to save us from the evil is Jesus, alayhi salam, who will come and descend to this world. And I don't know if you want me to tell you this, but as our belief, he will be descended in the land of Syria, on Damascus, in a place called Al-Manarat al-Bayda. This place now is a mosque in Syria, the White Minaret. This place was built by the people, Christian people donated, and the Muslim built it, and the Muslims pray with it, but a lot of donation, a lot of reconstruction of this mosque done by the Christian people of Syria, the great Christian, our brothers and sister, who is now are being butchered by Kerry and his filthy criminals. So this is the word of Al-Ba'ath, and you see, so Al-Ba'ath, Christianity and Islam and reviving the Arab great civilization. That's why it was targeted hardly, how they butchered President Saddam. I mean, it's on the TV. When 2003, when the first thing the occupiers, the U.S. occupiers came, they went to the shrine or the grave of Michel Aflaq. He was buried in Baghdad. He died, I think, in 1998, and he was buried in Baghdad. They went to his shrine, to his grave, and they demolished it. They demolished it completely. They burned it. They demolished it. I mean, you can see their hatred. I mean, a man died 20 years ago, but their hatred to Christianity, to Christ, alayhi salam, to the Ba'athists, to the Arabs, they went and demolished it and burned it. It reminds me also when they, I think, W.T. Hess, they did this to his, what's his name, Rudolf Hess. They went lately and take his grave away. What they did to the grave of the father and mother of Gaddafi.
Right.
I mean, these things, those who came and opposed them, they get this kind of a treatment. Man, an old man died 20 years ago. You came and burned him and demolished him. I mean, that's give you some view about the hatred against the Ba'athists and the whole socialist movement in Iraq and the Arab world. Of course, I told you that we consider Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the imam of the socialist, and many Arab people, Arab theologian, Jamaluddin Afghani al-Ghazali, they consider that. They consider his companion, his one of his closest companion, Abadar. He said he was the big thing in socialism. And Abdel Nasser was a socialist. Abdel Nasser, who kicked the British out in Egypt, was a socialist.
And sometimes we get the word socialist mixed up. We think of Marxism.
No.
When we hear the word socialist, and that doesn't always mean Marxism.
No. I mean, a lot of Arab, they think that, like Jamaluddin al-Afghani, he said the original of socialism is Islam as a religion and as a culture. And al-Ghazali said Islam is a brotherhood, a religion. And religion, he said, all the religions, all the great messages before the Prophet Muhammad, and socialism in this world. I'll tell you about a very great singer in the Arab world and her poem about socialists.
All righty. We will be right back, and we do have a bunch of callers, so we probably need to take some calls when we come back, too. Be right back in 3 minutes. Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Boothana Nevlin. Why don't we take a quick call?
Yes.
And then we'll pick up where you left off. Let's take Bob in Canada. Bob, welcome.
Yeah, can I say something off point just for 1 minute?
1 minute.
Yeah, have you ever heard of David Wynn Miller on quantum grammar?
No. Oh, yes, I have. Yes.
Okay, what do you think? Or have you ever...
I have read his stuff, and but as you say, it is off topic.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe.
But
he's
interesting. He's very interesting. I have talked with him.
Oh, you have? Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Cab in New York?
Oh, hi, it's Cheryl.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I just wanted, I had a whole bunch of things. I'll just talk really fast. I'm not very happy about your cutting back your hours over there because, there's a lot of women listening to RBN. Well, maybe not so many if you're not going to be there because, I mean, we don't want to just listen to men all the time that are talking about, you know, all the stuff they talk about, which I don't really care about.
Well, it isn't my choice to leave this time slot.
Yeah, well, I mean, aren't they thinking about all these women that are sitting at home and they want to hear something? Because there's not a lot on the Internet. There really isn't. You have to, it used to be a lot more good stuff on YouTube, and now there's gnarly. It's all disinfo. It's just crazy. I mean, unless you want to watch about gardening and cooking, which is good, but if you want to hear about science, politics, and, you know, religion, there's not anything really, and you're very unique, and you know we want to hear a woman's point of view. You know, that somebody that doesn't like wanting war and killing, and you know, get the guns and all that. We want to hear about, you know, how we're all in the same boat and we're all sinking, and let's care about each other, and you know, and you bring people on, you let them talk, and you, it's just. I'm going to really, I don't know what I'm going to do to fill in my you know, your spot where I have, have you to listen to. I mean, I know on Sunday, but, you know, but whatever. But I wanted to say about your guest, too, because I don't want to take up, you know, told you I want to talk really fast and say a bunch of things, because your guest, I do kind of know a lot about the, you know, Islam religion, because it, I used to have, some neighbors that were from Turkey, and they were so nice and everything, and I don't know, and I just have always been interested in religion. I knew a little bit, and they taught me a little bit, and then I watched that, there's a series on the internet called The Arrivals, made by this really genius, young Muslim filmmaker called Noriega, and it's like about 12 hours long, but when you start watching it, you can't stop. It's like riveting, and I don't know if you ever saw it or not, but that, when he explains from his heart how he feels about God and also about Satan, because the Muslim people are, you know, they're not duped like so many so-called Christians, you know, that, life is a bowl of cherries, and, you know, you just name it and claim it, and, you know, and everything like that. They are, like, realize that all that glitters isn't gold, and that's why, I mean, those people are righteous. Sure. You know, they dress modestly, they love their kids, they don't get divorced, they don't have prisons, you know, overflowing, and they
have morality, they have morals, absolutely.
They don't throw their parents out on the street, you know?
Exactly.
They raise their children in the fear of God, and actually, now, this, the two religions of Christianity and Islam are very similar. They are both, we both believe in one God. And they do believe in the Bible. Jesus is, I mean, you heard her say that they believe Jesus is coming back, and he's going to destroy the Antichrist. I mean, that's more Christian than a lot of Christians believe. You know what I'm saying? A lot of Christians don't even believe in an Antichrist. And
sure.
They don't even think about Jesus coming back again. But the Muslim people, they're very, you know, they're very much aware that the Antichrist is about to take over the world, and I mean, because they can see it all happening.
Sure. And did you have a question for Boothena?
Well, I wanted to make my comments.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
and like she was saying about you know, Carrie, how evil he is and everything. Well, I don't know, she didn't mention, but he is, I've heard Tex Mar say that he's Jewish.
Yes,
his
he is.
His real name is Khan, yeah. And he's married to a, you know, Hines, and she's Jewish, too. And, you know, yep. there's, I mean, we got, what, four or five Jews on the Supreme Court, no Christians. But then my last point was about Farrakhan. I would just want people to go and watch that Arrivals on the Internet. It's so good. But now Farrakhan, I've watched him on YouTube, and, I mean, he's not Arabic, but, you know, the black Muslims here. And
he's very good. He says a lot of very interesting things.
Oh, I would much rather listen to his sermons than, you know, these, like John MacArthur or, you know, some of these, you know,
sure,
these people. And he's mostly preaching out of the Bible. I mean,
sure.
They do love the Bible. They do believe in the Bible. They believe it has errors and that, you know, the Quran, wherever the Quran is in conflict, then they go with the Quran. But it's like, you know, like she was saying how, you know, the two religions are so at peace over there, that, which is true.
They were, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they have, like, it's mostly Catholic cathedrals, right, you know, built right next to the mosque. And it was the Catholics that actually started the religion for the purpose. I mean, it is, I don't believe in the Quran. I'm a Christian. But the Catholics started it, and there was a reason that they did, was because they wanted to use the Arabic people to capture the Holy Land for them. Didn't work out for them. I'm sorry to cut you short.
Do you have a question for the guest?
No, I just wanted to make the comments.
Oh, okay.
And that's it. So thank you for letting me talk, and I love you, and good to meet you on the program.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your support.
Okay.
Thank you for your call. All righty. Let's go ahead and take Barb in Florida, and then we'll go to a break, and then you've got the rest of the time. Barb, quickly.
Yes. Thank you, Deanna. I just wanted to mention the Year of the Woman when Hillary took the women to Beijing, you know, for the Year of the Woman. It was only the pro-life Americans and the Muslims who stood up for the family and life. It wasn't Hillary and her gang. And then just wanted to mention a couple of resources that maybe your guest is aware of or maybe not. This one I got off the Internet is called Is Israel an Apartheid State? And there's a website, ifamericansknew.org. And then the other one is Zionism Unsettled, a congregational study guide, and it's put out by the Presbyterian Church USA, which has issued a resolution condemning Israel. And they have a whole, booklet here, a study guide on the Israel-Palestine Mission Network of the Presbyterian Church, and I purchased that, too. So there are some resources out there, you know, on our side, in other words.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All righty, Husaina,
yes.
your comments on what the caller said.
I think I heard that if U.S. or American now, it's a good site. The so-called Palestinian-Israeli conflict is it's Zionist Satan controlling the Holy Lands of Palestine. You know, Palestine was, I call it the land of Sham. It was Palestine, Jordan, Syria. And in fact, Palestinian, we used to call it before in the time, the oldest time, it's the land of the Canaan. The Canaan means Al-Kanaaniyin, and they are the origin of the Arabs. So before Moses, before Abraham, before all of that, the Palestine was used to call the land of the Canaan. So really, the original of the Arabs is the Palestinian or the Canaan land. They call it the land of the Canaan, which is the Arab came from there, and they descended to Najd al-Hijaz al-Jazeera. I don't know what's the other thing that she mentioned. I forget if American knows and the Zionist Palestinian conflict. Yeah, I mean, that's what can I can say. And thanks for all your callers. But Palestine is really, it's the, an Arab land, it's the land of the Arab, and the Arab descended from there. And
welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Boutaina Nevlin. I'm sorry I was not watching the clock, and we just kind of slipped into into the proper music.
I want to mention one other thing about the Quran. And I mean, the most women revered or honored in the Quran, it's she's our Lady Virgin Mary, alayha salam. She's the most women revered. I mean, she's top of any women in the world. And she was revered and honored in such a way that's a whole chapter of the Quran, Surat Mary, Virgin Mary Surah. It's the 19th chapter of Quran, just for her. Moreover, her family, we call them Al-Imran, the family of Virgin Mary. When we call them, Al-Quran call them Al-Imran. It's the third biggest chapter in the Quran as an honoring for Virgin Mary, alayha salam, and her family. That's one thing I want to mention. Other thing, Diana, I just want to read you a few of the views of the founder of the Ba'athist Party, Michel Atlaq, his views about socialism. Two sentences, if you allow me. He said in one of his writings, if you ask me why I have a great tendency or love for the socialism, I will answer you the following. What I aspire or want is not the increase in the production of the factories. I want increase in the production of life. And I don't care if people, the people get the same amount of food or salary. No, I care to prepare every opportunity to the human and honor him as a human so he can launch or use his skill, his talent, his strength in building himself and building his country. If you ask me where I can find socialism, I will not tell you. I can find it in Marx or Lenin books. Never. Socialism is the religion of life and the triumph of life over death. So all those who said the Ba'athists are Marxists are no. It's very wrong. And you know, Saddam Hussein was fighting the Marxist there when he came to power. Another thing Michel Atlaq said, see this thing, I mean, it can appeal to any people, I think, from my own view. He said, I'm quoting, we are threatened in our world that the material mentality or materialism will take a place instead of the spirituality, and the atheism will take a place and take the place of faith, and chaos and extremism will take a place of the morality and good ethics. This is the great important responsibility of the youth. The youth should uphold and honor all the great spiritual ethical values that we inherited from our history or our grand folks, and we put it back into use in life. And we tried with them to understand the situation nowadays and put solution to all our problems. If the young people return to the values of our great past and they make use of it, this will save them, from the dangerous mentality of materialism, communism, that threatens our morale, our vitality, our freedom of thinking and our individuals, as it threatens our existence. How true is that for the communist? I mean, you know, whenever communism there, it's destruction, Diana.
Of course.
How true is that? Yeah.
And no matter what country that the Marxists invade, whether it's Russia, whether it's Germany, whether it's Iraq, people are going to fight against it. And you mentioned socialism, and socialism, people in this country connotate socialism with Marxism, and that is just not correct.
No, quite not.
And you'll find a socialistic kind of an environment in the New Testament.
Yeah. So all the religion, all the religions, all the great guidance of God with all the great prophets, it came with this, the serving of a human and take them away from the worship of Satan and his followers. I mean, that's what I understand Islam is.
Sure. Well, there's been a lot of things that have occurred, and certainly we have been misguided in this country regarding, well, since before 9/11, because you have to go back to 1991, and the U.S. government lied about Saddam Hussein, and in fact, I believe some of that nonsense. I believed, and you corrected me on this. I believe that Saddam Hussein had purchased weapons of mass destruction from Donald Rumsfeld, and you told us exactly what Saddam Hussein had told Rumsfeld, that no thank you, we're not buying anything from you. And so from that point on, and the other thing that he wanted him to do, that the United States government wanted Saddam Hussein to do, was to stop
supporting Palestinians, yeah.
Yes. And what else? There were three things.
Yeah, I mean, Rumsfeld came from Reagan, and he asked to meet Saddam, not Saddam asked to meet him. And he told him, we want a big concession of the oil, 80 or something, to the oil companies that he has is part of or represents. Second, stop calling for Arab National Brotherhood. And third thing, stop supporting the Palestinian. So Saddam Hussein just sat a little bit and he left him and left the room. And a good insult to him, and he deserved it.
He did. And yes. for that, the country was devastated.
Exactly.
Absolutely devastated. The bombing that took place in 1990, 1991, left only 4% of the electrical power in
exactly.
place.
Yeah.
Destroyed
yeah.
the dams. And then 500,000 children. What would happen in this country if some foreign entity came in and was the cause of 500,000 of our children? What if that happened here? We would, and yet it happened. It happened in Iraq. 500,000 children died. They perished for lack of food, lack of medicine, from diseases, because the river, the main water, was because of the bombing of the dam.
Yeah.
Sewage got into the water.
Sewage factory completely.
Yeah.
The embargo embargo, no medicine, no cleaning stuff, nothing. It was really harsh embargo. And in the embargo, another million Iraqi died. So after that, they came now, and 2003, and mission accomplished, 3 million and more, and every day. I don't know, my sister may join them soon. I don't know. God is the greatest. I don't know. Allahu Akbar. It's hard.
Yes.
It's hard. It's a complete destruction. And woman, is those people, people of U.S. are in complete, oblivion. I don't know. Complete oblivion. Not oblivion, but sometimes I not brainwashed. I was talking to a very educated man, and he told me, aren't you happy you're going to vote now? My goodness gracious. Vote? Vote? Aren't you happy? I'm going, well, aren't you happy we killed 3 million? Aren't you happy we destroy? Aren't you happy we're raping men and women and children? 300,000 prisoners and more. Aren't you happy everything? No food? Aren't you happy young girl like my sister is dying.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. The U.S. brought democracy to Iraq.
Democracy, that's the democracy they want. It's a complete annihilation of a human.
Yes.
That's what they did to the European, 80, 100 million European died, and now they are doing the same thing to the Arab world. It's a complete genocide, what they are doing in Syria, what they have done in Libya, what they have in other countries. So I wish the American people will, I don't know.
We need more voices like yours.
Open Allah, Jesus alayhi salam will descend and save us, inshallah.
Thank you, Buthaina. Thank you so much.
Bless you, Allah. Bless your listeners and your family. And thanks a lot for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you, Buthaina. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.